Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we continue our broadcast this beautiful Wednesday. And of course, we have advertised, we've promoted the topic or the theme for today's discussion, and we will be talking about Nigerians in diaspora and their voice in the nation. Of course, the backdrop to this is the fact that the Deputy Speaker of the Federal House of Representatives, Alhaji Idris Wase, said last week during a petition presented by some Nigerians from Benue State against the insecurity in Benue State. And of course, the Deputy Speaker said that they had no justification or no right to complain about insecurity in the land. However, since then, the media team of the Deputy Speaker has come up to say no. He was saying that their movement is not registered in Nigeria. That was the crux of the matter. But then Nigerians in diaspora have not spared the Deputy Speaker. So from here, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed, would like to hear what the opinion is, or the opinions of Nigerians in diaspora. And right now I have on the line with me Miss Toyin Moore. She's a film producer and director. Toyin, good day, how are you today?
Good day, nice talking to you, and thank you for inviting me.
Okay, all right, so are you aware of the scenario I just painted?
Oh yeah, we watched the video. The video is everywhere. I actually shared it on my Facebook page as well, because it was incredulous. It was just beyond belief that such a thing can be happening, even in a village. How much more in in the house, you know, where we're supposed to have educated, informed humans. But we were totally shocked by it. Yes, I have seen it, I've heard it, and I have also shared it.
Okay, all right. Now, what was your first reaction when you saw that? Was it of rage or of compassion or some sort of understanding? Put yourself in. Well, yeah, sometimes, yeah, I think compassion, as if you probably will pity the man, you know, because.
Or maybe
compassion for our country, Nigeria.
Exactly.
How did we get to this point? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I felt sorry. Go ahead. I felt sorry for Nigerians, including myself. I felt that we've been dealt a very bad hand by fate to have such ridiculous humans have any kind of influence over our day to day life. The man had me enraged. Like, I couldn't even believe what I was listening to, and he kept trying to shut the person talking to him down, and he was very clear, like, who this Nigerian. He almost said we had no right to be Nigerians. He was almost as if he had stripped us of our citizenship just because we do not live in Nigeria. Is the most ridiculous thing anyone could hear. I mean, it was very, very bad.
Okay. All right. Now, I use that to set, you know, the mood or the tempo for a bigger discussion, especially as it relates to Nigerians in diaspora and how much, you know, of their voice or voices should be heard in Nigeria. Now, let me ask you some personal questions. Do you belong to any Nigerian associations in the UK where you are?
Yeah, there are several associations here that we all, well, I am one of them that we belong to or we participate in. You have the one that is held, you have TAMPAN, you have the Nigerians in diaspora one. I think Alisa Shode used to be chairman, and then they had different people represented. What I mean is, there's so many organizations that ask us to not just participate, we get involved, you know, and then sometimes we even get involved with things like relief materials being sent home when there are disasters or situations or whatever. The last one was the COVID thing happening. Different people, different groups were set up, and I particularly had another group set up where we were sending food. You know, we are involved in everything happening at home at every time that is happening. And the Nigerian embassy, we visit there, we discuss issues concerning Nigerians here, affecting Nigerians at home, and stuff like that. So this whole thing that he's saying, as you can hear from my responses, I'm still in shock, you know, like, why would anyone say that or even think or imagine that? And what do they mean by he's saying the group was not registered in Nigeria? That even makes it more ridiculous what they're saying. How many groups are registered in Nigeria that function for Nigeria outside of Nigeria? How can you be living outside Nigeria and your group will be registered in Nigeria? Does it even make sense?
Yeah, he was just trying to look at the legitimacy of the group. Is the group recognized by law, you know? And I'm sure you have an idea of that. But I mean, that's not the substantive case for me. For me, I just want to be sure that when Nigerians are outside of Nigeria, and you've given me the answer, they are also thinking about what happens back home. And this takes me to another area that is very, very important. And this area is in terms of what Nigerians in the diaspora contribute to the Nigerian economy. Yeah. As of the last count, it was $25 billion. Yeah. And it's a whole lot more than the foreign direct investment to Nigeria. And therefore, they are a major investor in the Nigerian project. And here is our deputy speaker saying that they shouldn't have a voice.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile that?
Yeah, 100% is as if he sounds to me like someone who woke up on the wrong side of the bed and just sprouting out nonsense. Because everyone will have at least a relative, a friend, or a colleague that is resident outside of Nigeria. And those persons remit funds on a regular basis to Nigeria. I have family at home. We're always sending money home. We're involved in things at home, buying land, building house, or do you understand? Even the infrastructure on the ground, we are physically, financially involved. So for him to say what he said, he needs to apologize or retract his statement. They can't cover it up with whatever thing they came out and say, oh, the group is not registered. It doesn't give credence to whatever it is they're trying to defend. They have made a serious blunder, and that is to show us the kind of ridiculous people we have representing us in office as administrators of this country. Nigeria, we have jokers. We have people who have no knowledge at all of what it is to even administer a school, how much more a country. How would a man, a deputy speaker, stand up and sprout that? And he was shutting the man down, and he wouldn't even let him talk. He was very confident in what he was saying, that, oh, these people, what are they saying? It's just like saying, we have problems, and then you talk to the WHO and say, oh, there are problems in Nigeria, and they want to intervene. And then you say, no, you cannot help us. You cannot help us. You cannot give any advice. You're not Nigerians. How much more Nigerians living abroad?
Hello, are you still there?
What?
Hello? Okay, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's look at the real issue, which is a matter of insecurity that brought this all up. I'm sure you've been monitoring events in Nigeria. The spate of insecurity, kidnappings, herdsmen, and lately he said something that, you know, was almost impossible, you know, if you ask me, in my own opinion, was or is the kidnapping of 300 and over 300 kids in one school. I don't know where that happens, and I'm really serious about this, and I don't want to be biased, but I'm just saying. So from a diaspora perspective, you know, when you hear things about Dapchi girls, Chibok girls, Kagara girls, what kind of feeling does this evoke, you know, especially compared to where you are?
Yeah, it makes you feel like there is no security, and your heart is palpating, thinking of your family, because you're thinking if the possibility of hearing of any bizarre news, it's a present reality. If you can gather 300 children, it wouldn't take an hour to do that. It will take quite a while to be able to completely take 300 children, understanding how unruly and, you know, it is to have children do anything. And nobody saw it happen. Nobody could stop it happening. And they took the children from the school, from the streets, from the city, wherever, and nobody was able to apprehend them. And it has now become a norm, because the last video I saw 2 days ago was of some kidnapped students of higher learning or something who were saying the kidnappers were asking for XYZ compensation or recompense or whatever. Now it looks to me like it is a new business, you know. It is the new way of how to make a living, is just go pick up some people, you know, beat them up a bit, send a picture, request some money, and the government would negotiate with you. Meanwhile, innocent people, non-violent protesters are being picked up, and you send a whole battalion of policemen, yeah, to go and arrest peaceful protesters. But when people are being kidnapped, suddenly the security forces are without cars, they're without weapons, they're without manpower. You know, it's a joke. It's a joke.
All right, considering that some of these incidents are, you know, of international knowledge and awareness, do you find people from other countries asking you questions about what exactly is happening in your country?
They're not asking, because unlike before, what we have now is the world is like a global village. Everybody knows what is happening. I would say more like they feel sorry for us. You know,
it's embarrassing. That's what I mean,
yeah, it's embarrassing. They look at us like a people that are in such a sad state, you know, like, oh, it's such a shame about your country. Oh, it's such a shame, you know, about what's happening in your country, that kind of a thing. So it is it's a thing of embarrassment. We feel humiliated by this happenings and by what is going on at home. And it makes it look as if we all are a bunch of, you know, nimwits who don't even know what they're doing, you know, like we're just there, you know, rudderless, you know, no direction, nothing, you know. And yet we have some of the best neurosurgeons, some of the best accountants, some of the best filmmakers come out of Nigeria, but they make us look like we're a bunch of ignorant fools, to put it mildly.
All right. I'm happy you've taken me to this point, which is, how do you think that Nigerians in diaspora should contribute to nation building, especially in the area of politics and governance? Don't you think Nigerians in diaspora are very much aloof? Shouldn't they gather themselves together, put themselves together as a force? And if we complain about the quality of the man who is deputy speaker, for example, so what are we going to do about it? Leave Nigerians who are in Nigeria. Some of us are, you know, very, how would I call it, despondent right now. But then Nigerians in diaspora, they have the resources, they have the exposure, they know what's happening. Isn't it time that, you know, there comes this force from outside of Nigeria to make a change in our country?
Thank you for that question. And I'm going to give you a very robust answer. There are people I personally know who went home and got involved with the politics. They put their money where their mouth is. They did the campaigns. We got elected representatives here who wanted to represent their local communities or different states. I'm talking about Alistair Shoyede. He was a candidate for the last election. And then many of my colleagues and friends and known people here in diaspora who also wanted to serve in their own capacity in their different local government areas or states. Everybody, they joined in, put money together to travel down to Nigeria. They did the campaigns. They spent the money. They did the awareness. They did all of that. Guess what? They came back and people didn't even vote for them. They spent the money. They did the campaign. They did the met people at grassroots level. They sent us videos. We saw videos. We saw pictures. You know, people contributed to this things and all that. And I will say this, which is something that I feel that Nigerians at home, they have a responsibility to vote out who they do not want. You cannot be in so much pain. And we cannot, regardless of how much we want to help, if we come down and we put our money where our mouth is, we enlist a political party, we join a political party, we campaign, we do all of that, and there is no corresponding support, how else are we supposed to help or get involved? And this is the problem where they say, people get the kind of governance they deserve. Now, saying this, I am not putting anybody down, but I am stating what anyone can see as obvious. You consistently, you know, support a rotten system of people that do not care for you. They have shown it over and over and over again that human life, security, even healthcare is of no importance to them. What the salary of one of those members of the House of Reps, what their annual income is, what their cooks, you know, collect a salary, what they use to refurbish their furniture, yeah? They do not give enough of that for even normal infrastructure on the streets in Nigeria. And yet you vote for these people, and yet these people sit comfy in their offices. There has been nothing to challenge them to say, you know, get the heck out. You're not doing your job. You know, get out of here. If you will not vote or accept people that are coming in, then the people that are there, hold them accountable. Let them be accountable for what they said they're going to do. You know, so it's the truth. I know people who went home and died at home. There's a lady that owned a big shop in Southeast London. She went, you know, she wanted to be involved. She went, just local government or something. That one didn't even come back. She died, you know. So it's to say that people are not doing something, I don't think that is fair. There are quite a number of them who have actually done the runs, you know. I was involved in Alistair's campaign. Like, I knew how much they were using for plane tickets, flying different delegates, different members, going from state to state, visiting, doing this, doing that, and all of that. I even did a campaign video with OBM Eloyen for him, you know. So to say we're not involved is not correct. We're doing all we can to see the change that we desire. Because living out here, you know, how did they say that thing? Oh, that is that my Yoruba. Wait, Inela Bosimioko. At the end of it all,
we all. No, you can't forget that Yoruba. Don't tell me that. I know you won't forget Inela that Yoruba Bosimioko. Part of it.
Yeah, you know, Inela Bosimioko. We want to come back home. I want to be able to tell my son, you know, this is where your grandmom is from, you know, this is where we're from and all of that. But you hear friends saying that their sons are picked up because they have tattoos. My son has tattoo on both of his hands, you know. So you're thinking, ah, maybe they're gonna pick up my child just for having a tattoo, you know. So there's so many things that this thing is affecting that we're not looking at. In another 50 years, when the most intelligent, the most productive people have been removed by choice. Yeah. This one is not by forced labor, by choice, out of the continent of Africa. What are we going to be looking at? And we're saying they don't have any part to do with Nigeria. Okay. We should be looking at how to engage people in diaspora in some way. You know, those are the lines that should be open of how to engage them in, you know, moving things forward, not isolating us and making us feel as if we're stepchildren, you know.
All right. Okay. What I was saying, or what I was alluding to, is not the fact that Nigerians in diaspora don't try. They make effort, but I think they are not strategic enough. They are not, you know, at, you know, they don't understand the realities of Nigerian politics. Now, and you've mentioned, you know, something that is very important. The followership itself, the people, they need a reorientation. You need to change their paradigm. You need to change their mindset. And I'm speaking from the point of a media person, you know, it's time that we begin to do more of a campaign which is more of enlightenment, which is more of education than, you know, someone packing his bags and say, I want to contest. No, it doesn't work like that. In Nigeria, they will tell you, politics or power is not served a la carte. And I'm just saying that you don't come and you say, okay, I want to be, even there are Nigerians, I want to be president. It doesn't work like that. I've been in it, I understand it. I'm saying that there needs to be more strategic, you know, effort. And then a consolidation of those efforts. If you go as an individual, it sometimes is difficult. But if Nigerians in diaspora say, okay, this is our candidate, let's put all our resources behind, you might just be able to achieve more than, you know, without necessarily pawning your name, really.
Okay.
More trying, than, you know, yeah.
Two things you said. Yeah, I agree that, you know, coming as a group is much stronger than one person. But I don't even think it came as one person. There was a group. It was just that there was a leader to that group. And this is a man that has been chairman of Nigerians in Diaspora for many years.
By the way, we're interviewing him at 2 p.m. So I will raise some of these issues with him.
Yeah. So I know that the first person that even challenged me about being concerned about what's going on at home was Alistair. You know, he would drag us to meetings they're having with, you know, heads of state from Nigeria, or Abike is in town, or whatever. You know, I used to find it boring. Like, what are they coming to say? They're going to go back home and steal anyway. So why are we listening to them? So it would be like, no, if we don't talk to them, if we don't get involved, you know, we don't have a right to insist on a change, you know. So everybody started trying to get involved. Everybody started trying to, you know, okay, fine, it's our country. Let's get involved. Now, this is where I'm coming. You know, like, even if as a teacher, you have friends and you want to go and give biscuit in one school, I'm bringing it down now. Shaping the teachers of that school too, they will gather the children and say, "Aya, sit down like this, you know, this is." And then when the people or the team that is coming to do whatever comes, they will meet an organized team there. There's no other team to meet. It's frustrating. Do you know that there was a time we were gathering together to give monies to, I mean, to give, like, they should buy food and give to people during that time that there was that COVID thing, and they said the government people that locked up food and money, and they were not giving people, you know, those are the things you don't want to stay outside. You're too embarrassed. They steal things like Indomie, God forbid, bad thing, you know? And then we're like, okay, let's give them food. Do you know what my friend said? Ah, no, we can't organize for people to give them food because how, where to organize the people to come together. She knew that it was going to be a problem. Just send the money and we would, you know. So people have a challenge at home. Administration or organization it's a lacking thing, you know. So even every time you want to do something, there's always that, no, this is not possible because of this, because of that. I agree, we have a responsibility. We're happy to do whatever we want to, because the truth is, at least 50%, I don't want to say more than that, 50% of those in diaspora, they're not here because they don't like living in Nigeria. They're here because they are tired of, you know, the sad state of things at home, and they came for greener grass. It's not because they don't love their country. A lot of people don't like it living outside Nigeria. They want to come home. They want to come
home. I know.
Because even if you're a third generation Brit, the black British person here, it's not like home. It's just not like home. You understand? You will still need to feel some sort of second class status. All this fights you're seeing in America, Black Lives Matter, is all a pointer to the black man, to the African man. Fix your home. So we're not outside looking for home. We're outside looking for home. Why? Because home has sprouted us out, kicked us out, because we're so fixated it's like we're eating ourselves from within, you know. Meanwhile, those outside are hoping that things can get better at home. Those at home are looking outside to go and get things. It's a conundrum. It's just crazy.
No, I understand you perfectly, and I think the lesson here, and when we talk to Alista later today, I would be saying the same thing to him. We need to infiltrate the structure, you know, that is existing right now. There are so many superstructures and there's so many mini structures when it comes to politics and governance in Nigeria. And they need to be infiltrated, you know, by Nigerians in diaspora for a change of the mindset. Look, Nigeria's leadership, people complain about it. I would also complain about followership. Okay? Anyway, that's not the topic for today, but we'll get there because what is important is that consciousness and awareness for there to be a change in the nation, and which is what the Deputy Speaker's statement, you know, was really against. And that's where the Nigerians in diaspora do certainly must have a voice in their nation. They must be able to contribute to nation building. And what also happens is that you find maybe, okay, and Okonjo-Iweala probably came from diaspora through President Obasanjo. She's a star. And Akinwumi Adesina is a star brought in from diaspora. And many others like that. And yeah, what we need to be doing is to continue to preach.
Why are you not saying that they are not Nigerians?
Yeah.
Why are you not denouncing those ones?
I understand, but they're back home. They're back home. So, you know, but I'm not. I'm just saying that it has to be a conscious effort, and it's a movement that must happen if Nigeria needs to change from our own perspective here. And that's why Go ahead.
Yeah, I think a lot is happening already. If you look at what's happening now, and you look at 10 years ago, I mean, I've been here for like 13 years now. If you look at 10 years ago, and you look at now, and I think one of the things that has helped is social media, which was why we're totally against them wanting to shut down social media. It was like taking us back to the Stone Ages, you know. So a lot of people are aware now. You see your regular person who has never gone to school or anything, but he has a phone, you know, and on that phone he can for 200 naira probably see something happening on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, you know. And I think us entertainment people, we've done a lot. So if we don't praise us, we go praise ourselves, because people want to watch movies or skits or things like that. A lot of people are on YouTube, on Insta, on Twitter and stuff like that, and so information dissemination has become easier. you say something now, before you know it, hundreds of thousands of people have heard it within 24 hours, you know.
Sure.
So this is a time to start doing those campaigns you're talking about. And
yes,
I'm happy to work with, and as much as many of my people here, they're happy to work with those at home. You know, I remember some people reaching out to me like 2 months ago, something about when Sunday
Igbo. Sunday Igbo, yes.
Yeah, something in Ibadan and Oyo State.
Self-help. Self-help.
Yeah, and then they were saying that, you know, they want to have Yoruba something something, and they wanted me to come and do something. And I said, listen, I am for everything happening at home. Unfortunately, I'm not Yoruba, but I can speak Yoruba, but I don't think I would qualify for what you're wanting to do. But they gathered themselves together, yeah? So we sent delegates there, and they had some, you know, campaigns or meetings and this and that. So people in diaspora are very, very, very actively involved in everything happening at home as at when it happens, you know? We're all looking forward to a time when we can just jump on the plane and just come home.
All right, thank you very much. And I think you just put a very good tick, you know, to the rationale for our radio station, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, focus on Nigerians in diaspora. We believe that the future of Nigeria really is in the hands of Nigerians in diaspora, and we'll be willing to continue to work with as many people, as many groups and associations as can make Nigeria better. Of course, the issue of a voice is very important to us. The Spirit of Nigeria Radio is the voice of Nigerians in diaspora, and that's why we're talking to you. Okay, we just spoken with Toyin Moore, film producer and director. We've been chatting, conversing about Nigerians in diaspora and their voice in the nation. And of course, she's giving us our own perspective against the backdrop of Mr. Deputy Speaker saying Nigerians in diaspora do not have a right to complain about what's happening in Nigeria. All right, Tony, your last word before we go.
I love Nigeria. I love my people. I no go die for them, but I'm happy to live. Do great things.
But you can break a leg for them. You go break leg for them. Yeah, I'm not serious. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Nice. Hello. Thank you for having me.
You don't break. What do you say you break? You don't break waiting.
I don't break waist, everything. Break hand for Nigeria.
Okay. No problem. All right. Okay, we continue our conversation offline. Tony, thank you very much for being a part of the show. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Broadcast, our transmission continues. Keep it locked on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.